NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy Saturday. I'm happy. I hope you're happy. Had my first game yesterday. Yeah, I'm LeVar Arrington. We won. Maranatha won the game.
Plexus. Y'all didn't win.
We won the game.
They killed them. Y'all ain't win. Y'all destroyed them boys.
You know, we had our team up on game. Shouts out to Keeley Smith and Byron Chamberlain, two-time Super Bowl champ. I guess we should get Byron on the show at some point, too. We've tried to get Byron on the show.
Yeah, we tried to get Byron on the show.
Byron ain't want to deal with us.
He disappeared on
it. He forgot he had a tea time and remembered that and forgot about us. But anyways, happy March Madness to everybody. Happy Saturday. A whole lot of basketball on. And if you have enough TV monitors or that picture-in-picture or whatever it is that you do these days, everybody uses monitors or whatever it may be. I don't know, but enjoy it. And if you got a nice little bracket, check it out. Like you said, Plex, is interesting because we figured out and we found out that Oregon State discovered a basketball team.
Hey, yeah, I had no idea that they had a basketball program until yesterday. So
here y'all
the
go.
Beavers.
Shots out.
Congratulations.
Shots out to Beavers basketball.
Yeah.
Hey, what's it like being an Oregon State Beaver? Hey, what's that like?
I know the Michigan State Spartans are always good. How they do?
Ooh. Hey,
no, they always good. Ooh. They're always good.
But you know, hey, this is probably. probably the worst team that we've had in the last 25 years. So,
hey, we didn't even get invited to the NIT. I mean. hey, we barely got invited to the Big Ten.
Y'all ain't getting invited to the NIT. That's brutal.
Hey, man, look here. And then they all went to the transfer portal. Like, we up out of here, man. Yeah, but anyway, you're listening to Up On Game. Them voices you hear, that's TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress. We love to be here. In fact, we're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you could save a bundle, and all you have to do is call 1-888-FARMERS and get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, listen, let's jump into this. The whole NCAA tournament deal, like, I want to take this in a different lane. We can talk about the shakeup in the fields and teams being there that you know would have never been there before. COVID opened up the doors for some different things to take place, and you know one thing leads to another. But I want to focus in on a couple other things. All right, now there's two things I want to focus in on. One is the whole idea of us heading in this direction of getting paid. And I just I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say, because basketball is a much different animal in terms of exposure to outside forces, we'll say, than football is. And then now when you think about other sports, which, you know, that's, I don't really want to get too far off the beating path, but it is different in baseball. It's different in hockey. They have developmental leagues, and so does the NBA. And you have other places where you could go play ball and kind of do well and find your way back over here. So, you know, it's interesting thinking about what could it do to shape or define college basketball. Jay Billis had some interesting thoughts on it. Let's take a listen to that, and then let's delve into this conversation.
There's just not enough money. Anytime there's discussion over whether the players can be compensated beyond a scholarship and a stipend, that's always the answer. Where's the money going to come from? There's just not enough money. It's going to hurt women's sports. We're going to have to cancel sports. Dogs and cats are going to live together. The earth will spin off of its axis if the players get more than a scholarship and a stipend, or allowed more than a scholarship or stipend. Even if they get NIL rights, it's going to hurt everything. It's going to ruin it all. None of it's true. Because when they pay a huge buyout, when they spend on facilities, when they hire coaches for millions upon millions of dollars, they never say that they're going to have to cut a program. They never say they're going to have to cut sports. They never say that everything's going to be ruined or women's sports are going to be hurt or cut. It's all nonsense. It's all an excuse. It's all a rationalization. That's what I mean when I say there's not enough money, because that's what the NCAA administrators say every time that compensation is brought up.
You know, I tend to agree. What say you, TJ?
I 100% agree with Jay. If you think about this, man, March Madness didn't take place in 2020 because of COVID. And you look at it's such a revenue generator. And this is going to be the biggest problem with this, is the disparity in pay that one player may get when you're talking another player, and one group of teammates may get when you're talking other teams. But life isn't fair. When you move the needle, you deserve to be paid more than the next person. That's just what it is. They have to figure something out, because exactly what he said, when you can pay a coach $10, $15 million to not coach, you damn sure can play a player to play when the players are the ones that are bringing in all this revenue. And, oh, you get a free education. You think if the only revenue that I was bringing in was worth the free education, that they would be giving me a free education? No, you would be getting a partially free education. And so this system has been wrong for years. And I mean years. They need to figure out a way to fix it. It will get fixed eventually. It's just a matter of time, but they need to do this now, because the players more than ever deserve to be paid. There's just more awareness, man. And guys and girls are more aware of their worth and their value, and they need to be compensated for that, period.
Yeah, it's something that I've been, thinking about, and, really trying to put it all together of how do you, just like you said, TJ, how do you decide who is paid what? You know, you have guys who don't get scholarships, who walk on to programs, and they then, a year or two later, they get a scholarship. So how do you decide, like you said, who makes what? And, I just look back at a situation when I was in college, and, I ran into the same kind of situation, similar to what Chris Webber, was in. You're in college and you're generating all this money to these programs. And yet, after, the training table closes or whatever, you're like, yo, I'm hungry. I want to get something to eat, but you don't have any money. But yet, you know that you can go to the next level in the NBA or the NFL and make that decision to go pro. And you walk by the bookstore and your jersey's on sale in the bookstore for $150, and you don't even have any money to go eat.
No money.
So then, it makes your decision a little bit easier. Like, I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting any money here. They can sell my jersey in a bookstore for $150. I might as well just go pro, because my situation isn't going to change, and it still hasn't changed. And you look at programs like, Alabama and Texas. I knew 5 years ago that, say that the University of Texas football program generates like $100 million a year.
$100 million.
And you're saying to yourself, like, where's all the money going? There is enough money for these players to be played, but I don't, just like you said, I don't know how this whole thing is going to work out versus, who gets paid what. But these coaches are making $8, $9, $10 million a year.
And that's the problem.
Right, and yet these players are looking at you like, man, what am I doing? Like, what's going to happen? How do I feed myself in situations like that? So I don't know how the NCAA is going to work it out, but just like you said, I think that they will later on down the road.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
This is, to me, when you say that, number one, coach is making $8 or $9 million a year. We both know if you don't have the players, you're not winning. If Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban and all these other Ohio State, if they can't recruit the best players, they're not winning. So you're paying them to recruit the best players.
And this is paying to recruit. Paying out large sums of money to be able to do recruiting campaigns.
This is where, when you start to pay the players, because if you pay the football team, you got to pay the basketball team, and we're talking men's and women's, and you have to pay all the athletes. Football is pretty much the revenue generator at every college university. So now what happens to those sports that uses the millions that football makes to travel for uniforms, even though they're sponsors? They get those sponsorships because of football. And so the coaches, if every coach that was making 8 or 9 made 4 or 5, you're still living great. That would be a start, in my opinion. They're not going to want to take that haircut, but it's the right thing to do.
I remember I had a conversation with Coach Spurrier one time, and he talked about how he wanted to be able to pay his players. And this was many, many, many years ago. And it was at a time, I believe, he was making something like $5 million a year. And he said something to the effect, heck, I'll take $3 million. I'll pay my players. I'll pay them with my own check if they let me. That's how I started doing the math, right? I did the math on if he took $3 million and paid, let's just say, 118 players. Is that about right? 118?
On a team?
Yeah.
No. There's 90 scholarship players. 90 scholarship
players. Yeah, but how many players are on the team? How many players are contributing to the team?
Will walk-ons be paid as well?
Why not? They're part of the team, and they can end up being paid.
That's exactly what I just said.
If you're a walk-on, they
will not allow walk-ons on the team. Then you already know that. If you have to pay a walk-on, they're not. If you have to pay a guy, or you're gonna pay a guy that's walking on, why would you let him walk on?
Everybody be walking on.
I mean, if you can make it, right?
I mean, I knew when I was in college, I didn't know this until I got there, but, you know, Nick Saban, anybody that walked onto our football team, they were on the team. Like, we didn't cut anybody or say that you couldn't play. If you came out as a walk-on, you made the team. That was just, you know, how it was. I don't know if there's a number to say, or you can only have 5 or 6 walk-ons, or whatever the case may be. But if you walked onto the team on Michigan State, you were on the team. If you got a scholarship because you was going out and performing better than anybody thought you would, then that was a whole different program. But you can't play a walk-on the same as a scholarship guy.
Let me ask you.
That's just something that wouldn't work out.
That's a base salary. In my mind, I could see that being a base salary. Let me ask you this. If you were to receive, say, $1,400 every 2 weeks, $1,400, how would that make you feel? During the course of the year, if you're making $1,400 as a player.
We got a Pell Grant check at the beginning of the year. How much is the Pell Grant? It was $3,500. It was $3,500 back then. That was 20 years ago.
A month?
No.
For the year.
Every turn of the semester.
For the semester.
You would get one, you would get one in September, and you would get one in January for the spring semester. And that was basically it.
Were you happy about that appellate grant?
Oh, we was rich.
Okay, so if you got $3,500 for the semester.
But it was for a whole semester.
Right, so how long is a semester? 4 months?
Yeah, semester.
4 or 5 months, yeah.
Okay, so a semester is 4 months, and it's 2 semesters in a school year, so you got $7,500, right? $7,000.
I don't know what school you went to, but it's $7,000 in my calculator.
$7,000, right.
You look at schools like basketball. Indiana just fired their head coach, Archie Miller, right? The boosters are going to pay a $10 million buyout just to get rid of them. $10 million, and so you're paying a coach $10 million to go bye-bye. Like, there's something that can be done.
But I want to revisit. I want to revisit this. If you're getting paid bi-weekly $1,400, that's going to be more than that appellate grant. That's going to be more.
It comes out to roughly
$33,000-$34,000 a year that you would be paying these players. Yeah.
I could only assume that, you know, this was 20 years ago, LeVar.
I understand
And we were getting $3,500.
All right, but
every semester. But they can definitely pay these kids $1,400 every 2 weeks if they choose to.
And that's $3 million. That's $3 million being broke up over 90 players for 12 months biweekly. So what I'm saying is if you're paying for their food, their clothing, their housing, their board, I mean, that's not – you wouldn't be okay with that? Just that being a starting place?
I would be perfectly fine with it.
You know what I mean? So it's like – here's the problem I seem to run into every single time. I know we got a break, but the problem I seem to run into is that we always talk about how there's not enough money. There's not enough money. But if you really divvied it up and if coaches were really willing to be that open about it, which there's not that many coaches – to that point that make that type of money where they could say, hey, I could take $3 million of the money that Nike's giving me, that the boosters are giving me, that Gatorade is giving me, and I could split that up and we could pay these guys this sum of money. The problem that we're going to run into is there's no consistency connected to it. How would you be able to connect the consistency to the basketball program that's generating money? How will we connect the consistency to the NCAA football players that are a part of this? And then how many programs would really be able to execute this? I want y'all to think about this. We're not going to leave this conversation yet. We're going to actually continue to have this conversation on the other side of this break. But want to take a quick minute before we take a break and let our newest affiliate know that, hey, we're happy you've become our 600th nationwide newest affiliate. Fox Sports Radio, 103.5 FM and 1510 AM, The Game, Spokane, Washington, home of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Hey, welcome on board. Welcome to the family. Open arms with love. We appreciate you. Play our program every single time you get a chance to. How about that? And by the way, you play our program every single time you get a chance to. You could do that by going to wherever you can download podcasts, your best convenience. You're listening to Up On Game. I'm LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burst. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, Up On Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burst. Got my boy Gavin back there. I was Sam. What's up? Who we got doing trending today?
We got Ralph.
We got Ralph up in
there. Building.
What up, Ralphie?
His UCLA Bruins.
All right.
Be playing sometime today.
Oh, well.
Whatever. Move on.
Next UCLA. Speaking of.
It's a sore spot for Plax there.
Oh, that's one of those historical teams and programs in the basketball realm. Hey, listen, everybody. We've been talking about some pretty interesting things. But before we go any further, let's talk about where we're doing it from. And it's Farmers. We're live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studio. So you can call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. And you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. Now, speaking of being able to pay your auto insurance and other things, you know, that take place, you know, going into the break, I was basically saying and alluding to the fact that, well, you're talking about opportunities that could be very limited by scale and at each school. So, TJ, I want to throw this out at you, and Plex, you know, you could jump in on this as well. You know, there are a lot of – I've had this conversation with guys – that have played in the league and have had success. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's older guys. But, you know, they always say, I don't understand why this is such a big topic. Because there are a lot of people out there that will fall in line with this mindset and this thought process as well, that you're getting a free education. If you are a scholarship player, why are you complaining about not getting paid when you are getting paid and that payment is your ability to go to school and do something that you may not of any other way, any otherwise,
would have had the opportunity to get that education. What would your response be to that?
I look at it like this. When you, any athlete, male and female, when you calculate the amount of hours you put in just to get ready to play, the training, the working out.
Well, they pay you millions at the professional level.
Just to get ready to play. The training, the working out, the therapy, the massages, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even talking about the practices and the training and working out that we do with the team.
Study halls.
You're not being paid for that, but you're bringing in revenue. And so the scholarship and the stipend you get is way less than minimum wage if you calculate that. And you'll get people that say that are non-athletes, they get a free education. They get a scholarship. There's a kid that I mentor, and I'm not going to say the school because people will know, but it's at a prestigious school, one of the best academic schools in the country. He sends me a message. He sends me a message of somebody sending him a message saying, I hate that you athletes get whatever you want. And it's always the non-athletes that are upset that the athletes are on scholarship. Well, be an athlete. And that sounds cruel, but that's just what it is. Like, you and LeVar Plex, you guys were highly recruited. I didn't play sports really organized until my senior year in high school. So I was on the other end of the spectrum. I had to work for everything that I got. And I wasn't the silver spoon guy growing up. Oh, we want TJ on our team. Oh, we got to make sure we take care of TJ. When people have gifts, and where they're athletic, they're scholastic, whatever it may be, use your gifts to the best of your ability. But when you have an opportunity to get a free education, that's just not enough when you're bringing in so much revenue and people are being paid millions because of that.
Right.
Million. Now, if they're being paid millions because of the labor and the work that you're putting in. Period.
Should players be paid?
Yeah, but,
go ahead.
I want people out there to understand something. You know, just because you're a college athlete, a student athlete, you don't have any money. I don't think people understand that. You know, you get a scholarship, you know, to get a free education, but on top of that, just like you said, you know, putting in all the work, the bringing in revenue. And whatever sport you may play, but you're not receiving any income, and that's what I want people to understand. If we pick up the phone, the only people that we can really call to have any money is our parents. And me being in a situation that I was in, there was nobody for me to call.
Man, call parents, huh?
Yeah, to get any money. So and then, but if you accept money from anybody outside of your family, like, you get suspended or you're breaking the rules. And I remember very vividly A.J. Green going into his junior or senior year at Georgia. He was the top wide receiver in all of college football. He was entering the NFL draft, and he signs some jerseys, and he makes like $400, and he gets suspended for like the first three or four games of the season.
$400.
Yeah. $400 for signing his own jersey. And then the same thing happened with Todd Gurley. He was suspended indefinitely just for signing some helmets or whatever the case may be. He was suspended because he accepted money from a booster.
Hey, Plex, think about this.
But check this out. Nick Saban becomes the head coach at Alabama. He goes to Alabama and buys a home, and the next day his $4 million house is paid off by the boosters.
But think about this, too, Plex. Peter Warwick, if he wins the Heisman,
Peter Warwick.
Financially, he should have won the Heisman, but, you know, he went to Dillard's or whatever. He didn't win the Heisman.
Wasn't even given cash.
If he wins the Heisman,
he got a discount.
He's financially would be taken care of by making appearances, just by being a Heisman Trophy winner. That hurt him later in life.
Let's tell everybody out there, because y'all throwing out, y'all spitting some game right now. Peter Warwick came out our year in 2000, and Peter Warwick is arguably one of the greatest college football players to ever play the game. That is not an understatement.
He's the best.
Went to Florida State, was a receiver, and was actually the the catalyst, the guy that helped Bobby Bowden get past a Michael Vick and Virginia Tech-led Hokies team in the national title that year. So that's what we're talking about right now, and we're talking about players, should they be paid? And it's March Madness. All this money is being generated. We're using football terminology and references as well. There's so many different names. You know, Terrell Pryor gets suspended and gets in trouble and becomes someone who is maligned because he traded autographs for tattoos. Suspended. Like, not money. Tattoos. Suspended. Reggie Bush, probably the most historic and famous one of them all, to be basically treated the way that he was treated. They vacated his Heisman. They basically erased him from USC's football history when in that rich tradition, he's arguably top five greatest of all time to play in that program. Chase Young got suspended for games because of something that had to do with improper benefits and different things like that. I'll tell a story that's personal and it's interesting, and this one will really, really trip you out. So I have a program, and Plex has been a part of our program where we go abroad and we teach kids in different countries how to play the game. We've been to Europe, we've been to Mexico City, we've been to Africa, and we started actually doing camps where we could get kids from Africa over here to get an education. And we were doing this for a while. I even took one of the young men in, and he became actually the player of the year for California, defensive player of the year, and was a 4- or 5-star recruit coming out of high school. Now, one of the kids that I had with me, and I won't say the name and I won't say the school, but one of the kids that we brought over. Now, keep in mind, the kid was in 10th grade, 9th, 10th grade. He's in Lagos, Nigeria. We bring him here. He's in school, and they used to all come stay with me at my home on the weekends or in the summer. And that was how we always did it. Like, they would come, they'd swim, we hang out, da-da-da, work out every single day, always working out. And the kid was suspended for a game and had to pay a sum to me to clear up any improper type of benefit staying at my home when he did. And I'm sitting there, and the one thing that disgusted me.
From out the country.
That you would not even know who he is. He would not be at the school as an employee of the NC2A if our work, our charitable work that we make no money. In fact, I've spent millions of dollars going around the world doing this, not being paid, just because I wanted to touch kids. So it's not even like I'm doing this to make money. This is not even a hustle. These right. kids aren't coming here as a hustle. I'm not exploiting them to make money. I'm literally trying to give back, and I find the kid getting suspended. They call me and tell me because he was a prospect when he came here. So those out there that will throw out the rule book and, well, he was a prospect, he was in high school, this, that, and other. The kid was in a village in Nigeria, and you would have never known his name ever in life.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If the kid was in Lagos, Nigeria, he never would have been a recruit. He never even would have been on your radar. And
the kid didn't even play the sport.
Yes, yeah, and all you're doing is traveling all around the world trying to better someone's circumstances because you see something in them
that nobody else did.
That nobody else would probably ever have seen.
Would have never seen.
And yet, he was a prospect because he was living with you and you brought him from Nigeria to the United States. And we call, and he say he's an employee of the NCAA. How crazy does that sound?
Show me his tax form if he's an employee.
There's got to be the tax something form. Wrong.
Show me the tax form if you're an employee, period.
There's got to be something wrong with how some of this is being handled. Now, I will say this. I think that it is a
a math equation that has to be figured out, and I think it should be figured out. I think there's some of this money should go towards the educating of how you build a brand, how you can build equity in what it is. I tell my kids in high school, I'm a high school coach, I tell them the equity that you build as a high school football player is actually just as good as the equity that you could build as a college player. It's just as good as the equity that you can build as a pro player, because it's all about leveraging the fact that you play this game and it's a connecting factor for you. So use it as an opportunity to you know, network. Build relationships, open your mouth, shake hands, be polite, open doors, be a gentleman. You never know who you're entertaining. So the idea of it is these people may be more interested in getting to know you. I can go back to Pittsburgh and I may be more remembered for what I did in high school versus any other level that I played at. Pittsburgh people don't care about Washington football teams. They could care less. So when you think about, okay, well, I might not be a Penn State fan, but you're one of ours, you're from Pittsburgh, and man, I remember when you were at North Hills. You can leverage the different levels, in whatever the sport may be, right? You can leverage that in terms of your ability to be able to network. So my question would be, if you're not going to invest the money, dollars-wise, green, hard liquidity, hard money, to these young athletes, are you putting them in positions? Are you paying for situations, events, programming that actually, one, teaches them how to become a brand and how to get these jobs and meet these CEOs and meet these VPs and presidents of these companies? Are you sitting them? Because the same people you're going after and trying to get these dollars from to build these big buildings and different things like that for your school and saying you have no money, those are the people that you should be introducing to these players and teaching them and educating them on how the rules of engagement work. I don't recall ever having anything like that. I don't recall ever being in a position where it was very pronounced that, listen, these are the people that put the most money into our programs. The only time I saw them was when I was being paraded there to sign autographs for them or to accept an award and sit at somebody's table who paid $10,000, $15,000 a plate to be able to sit at the table and say, I sat with LeVar Arrington at the table.
What the hell is on that plate?
Hey, bruh. Hey, bruh. Another LeVar Arrington possibly coming, but that's a deep rabbit hole right there. That's something that we
hopefully
will
the NCAA will figure this out and do us right. Yeah. Simple. Do us right.
I mean, Chateau Haute-Brionne or something.
There has to be some type of solution that is come to. That is for certain. That's TJ Hushmanzada. That's Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody out there.
Oh, ooh.
That's only right.
Boom.
Yeah. Live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Come on, y'all. For a quote. Come on, y'all, for a quote. Welcome back to Up On Game. I'm LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. The conversation got real, real, real spirited and real heated during the break. And we're going to bring Gavin into this conversation because you know what? He's got a very, very strong take on this, and I'm ready for this, and I'm interested in this. Before we went to the break, we talked about Tom Izzo having a public situation that took place. Gabe Brown was the player that was involved with his coach at the end of the half. Coach Izzo took exception to a situation that well, you know what? Tom could tell us a little bit better than I can. So let's take a listen to Coach Izzo and then let's expand on it.
You guys are beautiful. Yeah, he missed a play and I told him and he walked away. And so I told him to come back. I mean, we went through this a couple of years ago. A game like that, that's the question you're going to ask me. I guess I'll answer it because the media has the right to ask whatever question, but we'll get him in here and you can ask him. I mean, it was a normal nothing. It's just that this day and age, everything's something.
that was one of the most passive-aggressive ways to respond to what took place, from my estimation. Now, before we go, before we touch on this, if you didn't see the video, what wasn't mentioned in the soundbite from Izzo was when he told him to come back, he didn't just tell him to come back. He grabbed him by his arm and ripped him back to him to talk to him. Now, and I could say ripped him back, but it was, let's just say, because I don't want to like kind of put it in the wrong context, but he aggressively grabbed him and he aggressively yanked him back towards him to continue the conversation. Would we all agree on that? Would we all agree on that, Gav?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, Gavin, you felt as though what? Go.
I just didn't think it was that excessive to cause the outrage that it has. But again, everyone can see things differently. You guys are the former athletes. And by the way, Plaxico might have a very different opinion.
He might. We don't even know his opinion yet.
To me, it didn't look so excessive as to call for his job.
Hey, so look, I'm going to tell you a story about Tom Izzo. I've had the honor and the privilege of having a personal relationship with this man for over 20 years. And if you know Tom Izzo, he creates a bond with his players that they're family. And a lot of people, you know, they don't understand the significance of what I'm saying because you don't know him, you know, as a person. How many coaches in any sport that you see standing on the sideline and Tom Izzo and that player get into a heated exchange on the basketball court, and that player comes to the sideline and puts his arm around Tom Izzo, and they have a conversation about what just happened on the basketball court? None. You don't see it. And when I got to Michigan State, so I was declared ineligible by the NCAA, so I had to my scholarship, I didn't have a scholarship. I couldn't participate with the football team. I couldn't work out in the football facility. You know what I did? I played basketball with the basketball team every day to stay in shape. And that man treated me like I was one of his own. I had to go to their facility to work out and to stay in shape. I played basketball with the basketball team every day. And that man treated me like I was one of his own. And still to this day, if I pick the phone up, the man answers the phone and treats me like a son.
Live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios, call Farmers today for a quote. That was some very sentimental conversation there. We are not done. We are just getting started. We're on Fox Sports Radio. You're listening to Up On Game. We'll be right back.